Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Billy Blade. This is the Biggest Little Show on Radio, brought to you by the Pro Wrestling Unplugged, the Battling Bombshells, and the Micromania Tour. Tonight is a special night. We are remembering a real close friend to a lot of Pro Wrestling Unplugged superstars, as well as fans. One second, let me pipe in somebody else as well. But yeah, like I said, this is a special show. This is a special evening. We have a lot of guests on the show. This show tonight is basically in honor of a friend of ours who passed away 10 years ago today. His name is Trent Acid, Mike Verdi. Verdi, however you want to word it, the guy was one of the best in the business. And tonight, right now, live, we have Pro Wrestling Unplugged superstar Nick Burke. And we also have Pro Wrestling superstar, West Coast superstar. I've known him for many years on the West Coast. This is the Messiah. You guys are both live. How are you doing, Nick?
Oh, I'm good today. I'm good. How are you?
Messiah. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Messiah? Billy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Holy shit, it's Burke. What's up, dude?
What's up, buddy? How are you? I miss you. I miss you.
I miss you too, man.
I do. What's going on with everybody? How's everybody celebrating Trent Acid Day today?
Oh, wait. You know what I've been doing? I've been doing a lot of like editing because I put together a show for him and I wanted to get that out there. And, you know, it was just something to help start off our Pro Wrestling Unplugged brand. And I thought that, I mean, we've been running a year, but I thought it'd be cool to kind of our first episode back of Power Search TV was in honor of Trent. And we were at the bar last night. I don't drink or anything, but, you know, they had cable TV, so we were able to watch our show live. And it was around the time midnight. June 18th is when the show aired, so it's kind of cool, you know? So, but how are you guys doing? Like, I know Corp's going to be calling in, and he wants everybody that's on the show to have a drink or something to take a shot for Trent. So, if you guys, when he gets on here, you know how much Corp is.
Yeah, make sure everybody has a shot so they can take a drink for Trent.
Is that a good impersonation still? Do you still sound like that? Is that still the raspiest voice in pro wrestling still?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We had him on Tuesday night. Good. Yeah, we had him on our show a couple days ago, and actually it was pretty funny, you know. So there's a few things I didn't know, and it's pretty cool. I had a whole episode about trying to, like, I was going to talk to Messiah and this and that, but I thought that I would just dedicate the show. So, Messiah, Billy, if it's cool, I'd like to have you on again, even you as well, Nick, or whoever. But tonight I was just going to talk Trent Acid stories, just, you know, call it on the fly and just have fun and, you know, maybe some laughs, maybe some cheers, you know, maybe some tears, you know, whatever, you know, so.
No, that's cool, man. Yeah, I'm completely down to do whatever. So, I mean, I love Trent. Yeah, whatever. Sounds good.
So what I did on Tuesday, we just kind of, with Corp, we went through his career and this and that. Since we have so many people calling in, we'll just like, what I did, okay, when I met Trent, I've only done PW like 2, 3, 4 shows when I was out there with Gangrel and whatnot. And the one story I always remember about Trent is, man, he was just super cool. And I got invited to Mel's, and I found out that's the name of Mel's. And it was just such a party after the show, and he was just super cool. And then when he came out to California, him and Johnny, man, I just remember him jumping on top of a U-Haul truck, and they were doing spots of Jack Evans on top of the U-Haul truck, and anyways, just such a cool guy, man. And so I just wanted to just do a special episode. It seemed only fitting. And so what kind of story, like, let's say, Nick, like, what kind of story could you tell us about Trent? I mean, I know you guys were real close, and obviously everybody was real close with him that is calling in. So what can you tell the fans that are listening? Because, you know, 10 years ago seems – that's a seem so far now, man. It just doesn't seem as 10 years ago, you know. So a lot of people are like – nowadays, you know, he would be a perfect fit to with wrestling on TV nowadays. I mean, so what is your thoughts? Yeah. And like, what do you, can you say about Trent? I mean, that people might not know.
Nothing good. I can say nothing good about him. Everything that I got, it just says how much of a scumbag and a despicable human being he is. I will tell you this about his, I saw his aunt today actually at the cemetery, which is something that we both needed. So I think in his afterlife, he's guiding people to do things. That's something that I think is a fantastic thing that he's doing. I really feel that his energy is putting people on certain paths. So that's cool. Another thing about him is the innovation of what he was. I remember when we were first training, there's a lot of things that we were trying to do. We were trying to get it going because we were part of the crew and the era that when wrestling went from the old school to what it is now in the change. And we were part of that. We didn't know that we were trying to be so innovative, but we were. And things like the reverse Rana, which is very popular these days, we spent so long trying to figure out exactly how you get that done right, safely, all that stuff, how you do it. It took a long time to perfect it. It shows that, you know, that we were, you know, trying to reinvent wrestling. And I think it happened. There are so many things that if you watch today, the spots that are being done, you might have to strip them down a little bit, but eventually they might go back to something that Trent started or that the backseats did, or, you know, anybody else that was influenced with the circle of Trent and, you know, SAT and the Briscoes and stuff like that, that, you know, Jack Evans and all that he would work with and Homicide and all that, you know, it might be a longer spot or things might be done a little bit differently, but it was him, you know, who came up with these weird things and he worked and he made it happen. And he was able to do this after smoking cigarettes and stuff. And I don't know how he did it. So that's one of my like greatest things is how was he able to do this stuff? And just, he did not, other than eating correctly. And Messiah, if you could talk about some of his annoying eating, I know you have some stories.
Yeah.
But other than eating correctly, I don't think he did anything healthy in his life at all. And I don't know. Like even the way he walked into a room wasn't healthy. Like he didn't mean to be rude, and just that's the way he was. He was the most disrespectful person, and just didn't know. And it was your fault that you were disrespected by him because he did whatever. It was the weirdest thing. There's nobody like him. Ever, just he had the biggest heart, and you saw the heart when he was just being a crumb, and that's why you loved him. So those are the things that I have. I mean, there's other stories I can tell, and I'll, you know, if there's time, but I don't want to take time away from Billy, from Messiah, because so go ahead, tell some of your stories with him. Try not to get mad while you're thinking about how much of a piece of trash he is, but go ahead.
Trent honestly was he was one of the funniest guys. He would tell these stories, just like he told the story about Abdul. He in Japan, Abdul the Butcher, like pissing on the floor or something. But the way he would tell it. The way he told the story, because the way he spoke and his inflection and the way, like he'd do these like noises, the stories he would tell were the funniest stories you ever heard. And I remember when I first wrestled for CZW, I was brought in for that show. I didn't know that much about CZW. I just knew what I knew from, you know, the magazines, the wrestling magazines or whatever, and. That first night, I stayed at Nick Gage's house, And I said, hey, you got any tapes on Justice Payne or whatever? He's like, yeah, sure. He gave me all these tapes. He gave me a tape for Cage of Death 3. And I watched that entire tape from start to finish and was blown away by all the guys. And honestly, after watching that, I thought to myself, what the hell do they want with me? Like, these guys are awesome. And I do the show, and the first thing I do when I get in the locker room, I shake everybody's hands and everything. And after the show, once everything's done, Trent comes up to me, and I distinctly remember him just going, he's like, hey, good match tonight. I'm like, yeah, thanks. He goes, so what kind of shit did they talk about us in XPW? And I was like, just totally put me on the spot. Like, he didn't care if it made me uncomfortable or not. I'm like, nothing, really. He's like, oh, okay, all right. And I wish I could tell you how I got into the clique over there or how I became friends with everybody. It just kind of happened. And they accepted me and brought me in, and we would all hang out at Berwyn Tavern the night before a show, and Trent was there, and inevitably we would all, a bunch of us ended up getting jobs there. I lived with a guy named Ian Knox, and Trent, or Johnny Kasner, lived in a place right across the street, and Trent was always over there, so we were always hanging out with one another. We'd go down to the gym and hang out with each other, and I wish I could. Trent could be so infuriating because when it came to wrestling, the guy was just gifted. The stuff he could do, the things he could come up with. You would just watch him go, how'd you do that? I don't know. He just did it.
He was way ahead of
the
time.
Yeah, I'd get in my own head and start doubting myself. I don't think Trent ever had any doubt about his wrestling ability or what he did. And to speak to Burke's fact about him being like a dirtbag, the biggest dirtbag in the world, and he'd tell you he's a dirtbag.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
I do.
Yeah, our buddy Chad Henry, who was a scout for the Detroit Lions, who's now a scout for the Colts, he got a bunch of us, when we were in this group called the High Five, he got a bunch of us these football jerseys. And Trent had one. Trent had a white one, and I had a blue one. But Trent wore that white jersey everywhere he went. Point where it wasn't white anymore. It was like this nasty gray. Like,
yeah.
He would just wear like the same clothes over and over again.
Yep.
And he was just the guy was a gypsy, man. He was just a gypsy. Like, it's just infuriating how talented and gifted he was. I'll tell you a little story one time when I can't remember what year it was, but I was out there for I was out in Philly for New Year's, and a bunch of us were at the Berwyn Tavern. Like, Johnny was there, Trent was there. I think, were you there, Burke? I think Burke was there too.
Yeah, that was actually the night that that Peter met his wife, which is weird.
Oh yeah,
or they got with his wife. You know, that was, they knew each other. You know. Yeah, I remember that night. Yes,
we all go back. A bunch of us go back to Ian's house and just, you know, we fall asleep there. Wake up in the morning, and I woke up and I'm just playing PlayStation or something like that. And Trent is watching me, and he looks down at my hand because of, you know, my thumb, and he just starts and he just starts pointing at my thumb. He's like, "You're playing video games?" I'm like, yeah, I'm playing. I can play video games. He goes, and then he literally starts waking up people and hey, look at Billy play video games. Like, just a bad move. Like, making fun of me for it, but you know, he meant it in the most loving way. But he thought it was like hilarious too. So,
well, that's
and
what,
you weren't mad
like,
at him
when I met him.
That was that's.
Yeah.
That, well,
oh, you weren't mad.
The thing.
Yeah.
You don't get mad at, he does that. It's so disrespectful and so out of pocket. Like, nobody accepts that from anybody except him. Like, he does it. And, okay. Like, he's the little kid that, like, you accept it because he's the little kid. Like, that was
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that he also worked at the Bourbon Tavern. Could you want to rephrase that properly?
He was there.
He got paid.
Well, yeah, no. He went to the Bourbon Tavern. He was working the door one night, and we were clearing out the bar because I was working I think I was doing security too. And this guy, it wasn't like a big guy or anything like that, but, you know, it's closing time, everybody out. And the guy's like, oh, I'm going to finish my beer. And Bertie goes, no, put the beer down. The guy goes, I'm just going to finish my beer. He goes, no, put your beer down. And the guy said, I don't even remember what he said to Trent, but Trent just went, what? And just, like, pie-faced the guy. And that was a dude, you need to calm down. Let the guy finish his beer. Oh, fuck him. Because he just wanted to get out of there and like, go hang out and watch. Because we used to watch before there was Boxing Mania, after shows, and we would go back to Ian's house and watch these tapes of, like, really bad wrestling spots. Fat Guy Falling is one of them. I remember that one.
Fat Guy Falling!
Yeah. But we would go back and just watch these tapes of these, like, guys wrestling and fucking up spots and messing up. Bertie would just do this running commentary on this guy because Bertie knew everybody. And then eventually this guy was an asshole, a dirtbag, scumbag. Like, he is everybody. And they were a mark. Everybody was a mark.
Yep.
Mark. Hey, you guys. So just real quick, I do have someone else calling in. She's live with us, Missy Sampson. She's on the air with us. Missy? Melissa?
Hi, Nick. Hi, everyone. Hi, Messiah. How are you?
Hey, Missy.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
So she just joined us.
I want to hear and listen to Messiah call Corey.
Yeah, so Messiah, you guys were working at, you said, I don't know the place. Is it a bar that you were talking about?
Yeah, Berwyn Tavern. It was in Berwyn.
Okay.
The BP.
The BP, yeah. That was like our hangout. They literally had, like, photos of us on the wall there because Ian worked there, Johnny worked there, I ended up working there, Bertie worked there. It just
That's
became
crazy.
Like the unofficial, like, CZW hangout.
So when I, like I said, when I was around PWU, the only place that I remember, and because we got fucked up like every night, every time we're there, was I guess it's called Mel's. After it was like the Italian restaurant or something like that. They'd close down for
the
us
Italian
and stuff.
Restaurant.
So
yeah,
I remember that place, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what the history of it, but I just know that like you were saying about Trent, man. I'm new. You know, I've been doing 20 years now, but like at that time, like, you know, the handshake gimmick, you know. He was one of the ones that wanted to come and handshake it, you know, handshake. And I didn't know, like, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm in a new locker room. I don't know. Okay, well, maybe he will eventually. Eventually, he was super cool, and, like, he was a cool guy. Johnny was cool. We were actually going to do PW West Coast around 2010, and, you know, Johnny was going to come out, but then shit happened with PW, I guess. So, but, so if you're listening, we got Missy Sampson, we got the Messiah, we got Nick Burke. I know a couple other people calling in. Since you just called in, Missy, what kind of story can you tell about Trent? That, like, your favorite story, or like Messiah had a favorite rib, I guess. You know, so.
Okay. And I had at least 15 minutes to prepare for this, so I should have had a really good one. And I was running around the house doing stuff in those 15 minutes, so it's not like I thought of my favorite Trent story.
The story in general.
Trent lived with me for Trent lived with me for like a year and a half in my really small apartment. His room was the living room. It was a separate room, but that was like his room. And so one night I had taken a booking in North Jersey that I regretted taking as I was packing my gear bag, as most of us do. And I had gone grocery shopping like that afternoon and bought like a bunch of food for the house. And Johnny came over and the two of them decided they were going to cook, which Bertie never cooked in our house, ever. This was the first time ever that he even volunteered to cook. And I was like, all right, cool. But I, like, had to leave to get my show. But what he was cooking, he pulled out the steak and the chicken. Like, he made him and Johnny, like, a buffet in my kitchen of all the groceries I just bought. It looked really good. I wish I could tell you it tasted really good because I'm like, I just want to sit here and eat. I drive all the way to the show, be as bitter as can possibly be, because now I don't want to work. I just want to stay and hang out at my house. Do my match, leave early, come home, get home. I don't even stop to eat. I just want to eat. Bertie was like, yeah, we'll save you some. I get home, and they had eaten all of it. All, they didn't send me any. I was so mad. I was so mad. But then he knew I couldn't stay mad. He was like, you can't be mad at me.
No. Hey, a question. So with Nick, like, just to, I'm trying to go to each one of you guys and just make it like easy to, so we can hear everybody. Like, what was like, I know you wrestled, obviously Trent, and you wrestled obviously Messiah. What was like one of your favorite matches of Trent that like you can remember that maybe like sticks out in your mind? Obviously you guys have known each other a long time. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite matches were never with me. My favorite matches of him was, probably that first one of him and Homicide in Philly at the arena. You know, that was the first time that I've ever witnessed a back and forth chant of "Let's go Trent, let's go Homicide." I think it was him, or was it? Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
No, it was at the arena. Yeah.
Yeah, it was at the arena. Because it also happened with Teddy. Let's go Trent, let's go Teddy, and I believe Homicide was first. Whichever one it was, Trent was part of it. And, like, I remember when that happened, and I remember just thinking it definitely was Homicide, because I remember he came out with the New York thing, dressed up as Homicide and braids and all that. Although Homicide didn't have braids, but that's what Trent, you know, he came out dressed up as Homicide in New York jersey and a scarf around his face. Pre-COVID, so he did that, and it was back and forth. Let's go Trent, let's go Homicide, the fact that that happened, and then the fact that it's like the thing now. I don't know if it still happens. I don't know. I haven't been to an indie show in a couple of years, other than a couple that I work. But you know, that's one of the high profile ones. I'm sure that it still happens. And that's my favorite thing. And the favorite thing, the reason why it's my favorite, just the fact that it happened, is because it was the trend setting that he did. It's a true testament that he was something way above. And so his stuff with Homicide was always really good. And the reason why is because they let each other do that. And I know with me, I regret it. I saved a lot of stuff. I wanted to save things for different nights. I wrestled him so many times, and the weird thing is with me and him, unless it was a high-profile show, he always put me over. He would not let me do the job on like a B show or lower. Of course, if it was CZW or anything, you know, that was really important, yeah, he'll go over. But He would always do the job. He did that for everybody. That's the selflessness of him. Like, unless it was a high profile show, he'll put anybody over. And that's also him trying to get back to the business and stuff like that. So my favorite match and stuff like that was like Teddy Hart and also with Homicide and, you know, those things. It was just unparalleled. And I don't even think I don't think today anybody can match it. I don't think so, because everybody tries to do something different. He had that old school style, the moves were so new and inventive, and leading away that it was incredible. He kept on going. I don't know how he did.
Sure.
I get blown up at the spot. He kept on going. I'm mad about it, but it is what it is.
Oh, so when I'm editing, you know, I'm editing a lot of the Pro Wrestling Unplugged stuff and whatnot for shows and whatever, and like just about every one of his matches that I've seen so far are at least 20 to between 20 and 30 minutes, you know. And so, and that's no lie, like every one of them so far. So, like, I only have a 30-minute show, so I'm one of, you know, I can only fit in what I can fit in, you know. And so with his matches, you know, the whole episode would have to be dedicated to him, like I did this week, you know. But my fondest memory with him, just because I'm a West Coast guy like Messiah, I've never I was only doing the East Coast thing with Gangrel and stuff and stuff, but like first time seeing him was the Best of the West tournament. I think when he won like Best of the West, Best of the Best part two or something like that, or where I think he beat Jody Fleiss in the finals, I think, or something like that. And just that tournament alone had so many different stars. I think it had like AJ Styles, Little Cholo, B-Boy, all kinds of people. And I remember seeing the year he won. It was just amazing. I thought to myself, man, this guy's an amazing wrestler. Like this guy's, and he had a cool gimmick too. I mean, shit, he'd get in the ring, he has $50 in his pocket, you know, $1,500. That's a payout right there, you know? So I always thought that was super cool, you know?
You want to know what's funny is that when I was doing a high five with Trent, the fact that I was with Trent and, you know, Trent and Johnny, and they would do the thing where they'd come out and get the money from the girls, I got residual cash from that. Because I was with them, they were doing it to me too. Once I wasn't with them anymore, I didn't get that anymore.
I thought it was funny you mentioned that, because I noticed some of these video footage, like I was saying, is everybody that, like if Amy Lee came out, you know, because she's involved with Trent, she would start getting money, or Annie Social, or, you know, other guys, and, you know, so yourself like that. Like, does anybody know, like, through all the shows that Trent has done, the most money that he's ever gotten at doing, you know, getting money when he comes out to the ring? Does anybody actually know that? Curiosity?
Well, here's a problem with that. He could have gotten a shit ton of money. It's just that he lost it on the way back to the locker room before he was able to count it. He would have just lost it somehow, because that's what he did. Anything worth anything, he lost it. Whether it was his or yours, he lost it and broke it. So
I reffed one of his matches once where he collected the money, he gets in, hands me the money and goes, "We're eating later. Put that in your pocket." That's like it was like $58. And he said, "Here to his work." He bought me dinner later that night. But it was like $58. But he like handed it to me and he's like, That's our food money for later, like here.
The most I ever got was like 10.
Hold on, I want to hear the most Masai ever got.
Yeah, Masai, you said 10, right?
Yeah, that's the most I ever got was like $10. And that was like, you know, like a bunch of singles. So I mean,
yeah,
Trent,
that's awesome.
I do know that it got to a point where Trent started giving Guy his money to hang on to the ref, because he was losing his money. So he'd give it to Guy, and Guy would stuff it in his pocket.
You remember that? Remember he would take a bump and money would just pop out, fly out?
Yeah, and then just pop out of his pocket, yeah.
You know, I totally forgot about that.
So, Messiah, when you were like, obviously, you were a West Coast guy, and then you started doing the East Coast stuff, obviously. Like, what was one of your favorite matches that stuck out with Trent? Because the high five, that included, who was the members? Was it you, B-Boy, Trent, Johnny, and somebody else? I can't remember.
Yeah, Nate Hatred
and Nick
was with us, and then Adam Flash joined us. That was, and then we had our manager, Dewey. But what was funny about that is I was never supposed to be, like, with those guys. It was just a matter of circumstance. Justice Payne had just left. I was talking to John Zandig. He's like, you know, we don't got any heels, or we don't have like a major heel. And at the time, not that I was like the biggest baby face in the company or anything like that, but I was like I was doing pretty good. We had just done KG Def, I think it was 4. And I just, when John told me that, I said, this was at the show, because CZW had just gotten kicked out of the arena, and we were at whatever, Nick was going to have
a night.
This other place that was attached to a strip club. Talking to John mentions this to me, and I just said, I can go heel if you want. And he just looked at me, and he just said, I'll think about it. It's like, okay. So I just went about doing whatever, going over my match. And then he later came over to me and said, go heel tonight. I was like, okay. And then he said, I'm going to put you with Trent and Johnny, because we were already having Dewey, who was the manager of the Hate Club, turn on Trent and Johnny. He's like, I'll pair you with Trent and Johnny. Okay. I'm like, all right. And that, I mean, it was just, that's how it happened. And the way we got the high five name was that Johnny Cashmere, Trent, and Ian Knox went to Amsterdam. They were doing like a show in Amsterdam. And apparently they were just you know, doing whatever in Amsterdam, and they came up with the name The High Five. Like, they, it was just something they came up with while they were high. Honestly, that's what it was.
Remember, do you remember how he pitched it to John? He was, I remember they were sitting on the side of the ring in that new arena. It might have been the first night they were there. And the way he was pitching it was, I got an idea. High five, but instead of the number five, it'll be the Roman numeral, the V.
Yeah.
So it's like it looks like it's HIV.
Yeah.
And John's just looking at him. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, you just reminded me of the next show, when we came out and we were together at the High Five, and we were going to say, hey, we're the High Five, we did this interview with Eric Arjulo in the ring. And so we're up, me, Johnny, and Trent are in the ring and are talking, and we say High Five or whatever it is, but the whole reason we wanted it to be the High Five is because we want people to chant HIV at us. And so people start chanting HIV, but then the crowd starts chanting, Trent has herpes. And Trent, I'll never forget this. Trent's like, I don't have herpes. He's looking at me and Johnny, I don't have herpes. And then he walks over to Johnny, and then he opens, because he's wearing some, like, sweats, and he opens up his sweats so Johnny, hey, so it can look like Johnny is looking down his junk, and Johnny can say, oh, he doesn't have herpes, I just saw it. So Johnny says, no, he doesn't have it. He walks over to me to show me, opens up his sweats. He doesn't have anything else under. I can see his junk.
He didn't believe in underwear.
He wasn't wearing underwear. If you see the thing, I was smiling from ear to ear laughing because I wasn't expecting that at all. He totally ripped me out. He's like, I don't have
hey, you guys.
He opens it up and I'm looking at his junk. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, all right.
Actually, that's how I... When I heard about the High Five gimmick, I remember seeing it, and I saw HIV, you know, when I first see the thing. I'm like, did they mean to do that? But, hey, joining us tonight, joining us as well, he was on our Tuesday podcast a couple days ago. We have a gentleman, his name is Corporal Robinson. Corporal, what's up, Corp?
Hey, fellas, what's going on, fellas? What's going on?
What's up,
Corp?
Wow,
how the hell are you, man?
I'm doing good.
What's going on, Corp?
Hey, fellas, good to hear you, man. Good to hear all you.
We got Nick Burke, Messiah, Missy Sampson, and Corp in the house right now.
Missy, holy shit, I didn't know Missy was on. Missy, oh my God, I love you and miss you so much. Berkster, you too, man.
I love you too, Corp.
God damn, Missy, you got some great fucking people on right now, man. Nick Burke, look, let me tell you a story about Nick and him, man. Nick, when I first came to Philly, man, Nick was with Birdie then, the first time I was ever doing some crazy shit back here, man. I love some Nick Burke.
Bro, did you stop smoking cigarettes? Your voice is less raspy. That's so good. You sound great.
Yeah,
awesome.
Listen, I walk to the ring with a goddamn cigarette. Well, you know I've got a fucking cigarette in my hand.
Okay, your voice, you sound really good. I'm happy to hear you. I don't know.
Man,
I'm doing
amazing, man. I'm doing completely fucking amazing, bro. I can't complain about nothing that's going on in my life right now. I got a great wife. Things are good. No problemos in that area.
Good. So how are you enjoying Trent's acid day?
Do what?
How are you enjoying Trent acid day? Today's Trent acid day. Hashtag.
Yeah,
Trent
I know. Today is Trent acid day. Let me tell you how I'm dealing with it. I'm about 8 shots of moonshine into the day. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I had to keep the tradition. I don't do pain pills or anything like that anymore. I've been off them for about 15 years. So I don't take none of that shit. But I made up for it on the liquid beverages department.
I got into moonshine myself, but I drink the stuff that you actually buy at the liquor store. So it's probably not as good as yours. And I got, like, apple. So apple cider.
Yeah,
so
I'm doing the 99. Y'all ever heard of 99s? They're called 99s in the banana port. I got the 99 banana flavored. You cannot go wrong with that. It's 100 proof moonshine that they sell in all the liquor stores now. It just came out about 2 months ago. It is the best shit you could ever buy, bar none, in the world. Because what they've done is they've made them into shots. And they sell them bitches for like $1.99 a piece. So you buy about 10 of them bitches, you spend about $12 and you're fucking hammered.
I'm going to get them this weekend. I'm going to get them.
So,
You will never, ever go wrong with 99s. You can get grape, banana, watermelon. You can get all the flavors they got them in. And they sell them at all liquor stores now. They made it a brand. You know what I'm saying? They got the distribution deal everywhere in the country. And them motherfuckers are the best shit you could ever buy.
So on Tuesday night, we had a Corp that we were talking. And now that we have everybody on the show, Corp, since you just chimed in, like what was one of your favorite Trent Acid matches that you've ever witnessed? And before that, I was going to tell you, I did check out YouTube, even though I've seen it like years ago. I did see the footage of you knocking out Freud from Operation Repo. And you caught the motherfucker.
I told you, man, I don't play, man.
Yeah.
They gave me $3,000 to do that shit. But my favorite Trent Acid match? As far as when I worked him or what I seen him do, like that's the two totally different categories.
Yeah, no, like what you've seen him do, like what you, because that's what we've been talking about since we started.
Well, let me tell
like
you, him and Jack Evans put on some of the most amazing matches that was ever put in independent wrestling, way before their time. You know what I'm saying? Him and Jack Evans was a WWE, AEW they wish was the main event caliber, because that's how fucking good him and Jack Evans matches were. And them guys would, I don't know, just the fact of them meshing or how they did, but him versus Jack Evans was unbelievably awesome. And like I said, and my personal favorite was me and him inside the steel cage in Philadelphia. But I also enjoyed the PWU, JCW feud where we turned on Raven in the steel cage and beat the fuck out of Raven. Cause anytime we get to beat up Raven, it's a fun time.
Yeah. Did you ever, Messiah? Do you remember? Obviously, you remember Gary Yap, of course, from California. Were you at that show? I was at the show when Jack Evans knocked himself out wearing that mask gimmick. Did you ever hear about that when he was doing the mask gimmick with Super Dragon and he did the 630 gimmick and literally like knocked himself out? Like the ambulance was called. Everything. It was a crazy story about Jack. You know, this is something I remember when I'm bringing it up. I don't know if you were there for that. I don't remember, but
I wasn't.
It was crazy.
I heard about it. Yeah, he was doing the Blitzkrieg gimmick.
That's what it was. It was like his first time wearing a mask gimmick. Yeah, the Blitzkrieg. So what ended up happening is he went for his, I think the 630 or whatever it was, and hit head on, straight on, and literally they kicked the fans out. Ambulances came, and he didn't. Man, I don't remember him waking up like right away. It took like a long time before he woke up. It was a real scary moment, you know? But Jack, man, Jack is something else too, man. I've seen Jack for many, many years, man. He started as like a little kid with like Teddy Hart in like a kid's wrestling camp or something, you know? So, but with Trent Acid, did you, since you haven't said it, since I haven't got to you yet, Misty, since you lived with Trent and whatnot, what was some of your favorite, matches or match that Trent maybe had that you might remember?
Well, I can tell you, after every show, he'd get, like, the tape of the show that he had been on before that and come home and force me to watch them. Because he was his own biggest mark. He'd be like, he'd wake me up and be like, no, you have to come out. I got the tape from the last show. You have to see this. I remember he did a PWS show in New Jersey one time. And then after the show, they filmed, like, a rap video. For like the song was like, I'm gonna break your face or something, and he came home like a kid on Christmas, so excited, and then played this ridiculous rap video for me. But that's what living with him was like. He was always like, I have to come, like I could be asleep and have work the next day, and he'd be like, no, you have to wake up, come watch his match, tell me what you think. You know, when I think about my favorite matches of his, you know, the one that Burke put up always makes against Homicide. Always makes me smile, only because I remember Verdi telling me all about that story about how the New York jersey he walked out in was Homicide. After Homicide went to the ring, he decided he was going to rip Homicide and come out and act like Homicide. So he ran over and like stole the jersey out of Homicide's bag. I think it was probably even Homicide's bandana. and then, like, mimicked him to make him laugh. And I remember, like, how happy he, like, he tells it like a giddy kid. So I always remember that whenever I see pictures from that match, like, how happy he was, like, just ribbing Homicide in the ring. Like, stupid little things like that.
He had a habit of always bringing in the corner, grabbing your nuts, and trying to make you laugh,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
every fucking time, man. He would always want to make you laugh right in the middle of the fucking match.
Burke, do you remember we did some show in Jersey, like some car lot, and Trent. I mean, it was a horrible show. I think it even started raining. But Trent went to the ring, and they started because the CZW started doing like the entrance videos, and the guy who did it, I think it was Mike Pancoast. He did one, but
right.
the beginning of Birdie's entrance video would start with Triple H's The Game.
Right.
And
right,
that
right.
was because Trent was messing around at the stupid Jersey show in the car lot. He walked to the ring with a like a singlet on, and he stuffed a singlet in his crotch. And he just went to the ring and did the whole spitting the water thing just to make the boys pop. And then all of a sudden, that gets put into the entrance video for him, you know, the game music. All because
yeah.
he was doing, like, a stupid rib and trying to make us pop with stuff in his, the singlet. So he had, like, his huge pack on him.
Yep. Yeah, I so remember that night. Oh, that just,
that is great. That's the typical Bernie story.
Yeah. Just to pop the boys, it was just... Man, and like you didn't, like, you know, some people, like the wrestlers or the fans never knew. Some of the people in the back never knew some of the stuff. You were just in the ring and he's just fucking with you. It was good.
So that reminds me of something real quick. On our show, we have a thing, and Corp was able to talk about it on Tuesday, and he had a fucking hilarious story. On our show, we call it Rib for Your Pleasure, which is your favorite ribs of all time. That's been pulled on you. You pulled on somebody. Obviously, that was a funny rib. Do you guys have any ribs that Trent might have pulled on you, or you pulled on rib? I'll go with you first, Nick. Do you have any ribs that Trent pulled on you, or
the best one? He always did it. I wonder if Messiah knows what I'm going to say already, and maybe Corp does, and maybe Missy. I don't know, but he'd never have his own water bottle. It's always somebody else's. And he'd go to spray his hair, but he'd put it too far back and spray the person behind him all the time. And then the person, talking, just having a conversation with somebody and just spraying the person behind him, acting as if he's missing his hair. Every single show.
Every fucking time, man. Every fucking time. That's great. That's so fucking great.
What about Messiah? Do you have one that's maybe not that story?
Because
that Carlisle story was pretty good.
Yeah, I was with Trent and Johnny. Because when I used to go to CZW, like that first year, it wasn't like I'd fly in and fly back home after the show. I'd stay out there for like a week sometimes. I just didn't like being
home. Anytime you go to Philly, you got to hang out with them boys, man. They treat you so good in Philly. You got to hang out with the boys.
Yeah, Corp crashed on our couch one time for like a week.
Yes, sir.
But I was with Johnny. Johnny had a roommate at the time, and I was just hanging out with them. And I can't remember if it was Trent or Johnny, but they pulled out a bong. I don't smoke weed. I've never smoked weed. I just do it. And you know, so Trent totally, you know, peer pressured me into doing it. Come on. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Because it was a water bong or whatever that held it. So basically what ends up happening is, I take a hit, cough in the bong, and all the water spits out. So all this bong water goes all over this couch. Turned out Johnny's roommate had just bought the couch. So Trent thought that was super funny because he didn't tell me what to do. I just basically blew all this bong water all over this brand new couch. And I've never tried smoking a bong since then. Like, I'm not even trying.
Now, hey, Misty, so since you lived with him, like I do remember when Gangrel was out there, you mentioned him, that you have to stay in Philly to hang out with the boys, Corp. When Gangrel went out there, he was out there, it seemed like a month. He was telling me, he's like, bro, I don't know when I'm going home, you know, because that's when they did, like, the Halloween show. Then they did the show,
I think, in a hockey rink. Look, I would stay to the point where they're like, fucking Corp, you got to go back to Louisville, man. You've been here a month. Like, come on.
That's what David was saying. David is like, man, I don't know what's going on, you know, because they're going to fly him home eventually, and because they had like two shows. But he said, I think he stayed out there 3 weeks, but man, it was about 2 weeks too long for David. He's not used to that shit, you know? So he was like, okay, bro.
I couldn't wait for it.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually about to hit up, I think Missy just got off the air. I was just going to actually. So, Corp, since we talked about
I got a good one I saved for you guys. I saved for just this night.
For sure.
And, and this was a fucking one of the most hilarious. You guys know Zach Gowen, right? Everybody knows Zach.
Yep.
He's got the artificial leg, right? All right, so we're on the JCW tour. And Zach and Too Tough Tony – and Trent's got some rats up in the hotel room, and the bus is about to leave. You know what I'm saying? We told him, look, man, you got about 20 minutes to get down here. Well, fucking Zach is hammered out of his gourd. Trent did the same shit to him. He got him smoking things. He got him all fucking hammered. He got Zach completely hammered. Well, Tony gets Zach's attention, and fucking Trent runs down to the bus with Zach's leg and puts it in the upper bunk, right? So I run upstairs. I'm like, look, man, we gotta go, man. The bus is leaving. Well, them legs cost about $2,000 to $3,000. You know what I'm saying? So Zach's up trying to find his fucking leg in the hotel room, and he can't find it, man. He's freaking out, and they've done kicked the bitches out of the room. So Zach thinks the rats have stole his leg. You know what I'm saying? So he's crying, and he's like, can't fucking leave without my leg, man. It costs too much. I'm like, Zach, we're going to leave you. It's over. Trent runs in the bottom bunk and hides in the top bunk. He's like, I almost spoke out to him, man. Them bitches took your shit, man. I don't know what the fuck. I told you watching whores. You know what I'm saying? Him and Too Tough Tony are totally playing the fuck off. Like they told us, like they took his shit. So Zach's like, and we get him hobbling down, and him and Trent and Tony have to carry Zach down the steps. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't get down. So they're carrying Zach all the way down to the tour bus, and Zach is crying. He's outside the bus, bawling his eyes. He's like, man, I can't believe them bitches stole my leg. They stole my leg. Who would steal a leg from a crippled man? Like, who the hell would ever steal anybody's leg like this? And Trent runs on the bus real quick, and we're like, we're trying to get Zach calmed down and get him on the bus because we got to go. You know, we got to be in the next town. We're already 30 minutes late because of these fuckwads. So Tony's like, fuck it, Zach, man, we'll just get you a new one. And Joe's like, fuck you, man. Zach by his own goddamn way. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fucked it up. You know, he let the bitches take. But Trent's like, look, man, I got something I'll trade you. He's like, you got something I can trade? And Zach's like, what do you mean? He said, man, I found this underneath the bus. It's an extra leg. Will you trade me something?
That's awesome. That's hilarious.
He brought out Zach's leg, you know, on the bus. He wanted to trick me for the leg. So we spent an extra hour and a half because fucking Trent has to stole Zach Gowen's fucking prosthetic leg.
So worth it. I'm actually in tears, man. Like, that's hilarious. Like, now Missy, I'm sorry that you're gonna have to follow that, but you lived with him, so is there any ribs? Is there any ribs
so
that
I
you
got
can
80
you can...
stories I can't tell in, you know, in public.
Well, you can now.
The only one that like I can really think of is, so Bertie moved into my apartment with me the day he got out of jail. And while he was in jail, when he got out, he was single. He had quite a few female pen pals. So when he moved in, he was chatting up a bunch of different ladies. And I'd like walk in the living room and he'd be on the cell phone, like kicking game to some girl. And it would always be a different girl. To the point where I downloaded Smooth Operator onto my cell phone, and I'd walk into the living room playing it really loud at him when he was, like, trying to kick game to a girl, and I would, like, look at him, like, and like shake my head and laugh at him. I'd be like, that was the worst line ever. These bitches would eat it up. So I walked around half the time at my house just playing smooth operator, and then it became like a game. Like, he would consistently, like, just hit worse lines trying to make me laugh really loud. Like, he would see, like, how bad of a line he could hit, and like, the girls were still buying it. We eventually had to give up. There wasn't a line too far for these people, apparently.
Well, the best part is smooth operator. Like, now I'm going to have a different meaning when I ever hear that song, you know, because that would be, I could picture,
yep.
I could totally picture you doing that with Trent, you know, so. Yeah, but, you know.
It was his ringer on my phone after that. It was his ringer on my phone. He called me, smooth operator.
That's awesome. So, man, you know, like, we have as much time as you guys want. I just want to, if you guys, anybody else want to chime in and say whatever they want to say about Trent, I do definitely know. Corp wants to do a shot, so if you guys all have a drink ready soon, we'll do some kind of shot, whether you drink or not. Just I know we want to do one. We did that on Turt Tuesday.
Yeah,
we want to do it again.
There is no kayfabing me, man. No kayfabing. If we're doing the shot, we're doing the shot.
Give me a minute. I didn't realize I had to prepare a shot.
Yeah, go, I'm giving you time. Let me go get one together.
That's what we're talking about. We're getting it together. Yeah, I miss you dropped the call when we were trying to tell you about that a minute ago. You know what I mean?
Missy,
I don't know if you heard. I had to tell the story about Trent stealing Zach down with prosthetic legs.
I did hear that fucking story, and it's fucking hysterical.
Oh, I wanted to say, Jose Maximo told me to tell you guys what's up. He was going to try to call in.
Oh, great, man. I miss them guys, man. I miss them motherfuckers. I miss them both, man.
And most of the time, we can't talk about far either, so don't worry about it.
Like, when it comes to favorite matches of Trent, I mean, his singles matches are awesome, but when them and SATs were always classic tag team matches. I'm a tag team wrestler, so I
always
loved the backseat. The Backseat Boys and their entrance music was always a highlight of mine. When I was tag teams,
them son of bitches have made more money on the entrance music than most of the boys made the whole night.
That's what we were talking about before you came on. That's what we were talking about. Like,
and the bad part, they were usually working fucking heel.
True. Very true.
Yo, do you guys remember?
Now,
do you guys remember when Frank Talent would give the rules on what we're supposed to do with the athletic commission?
I got them rules, man. The first time I ever got to Philly, he gave me the fucking rules.
What was
you got him every time
anybody
came to Philly?
Does anybody know what Trent's Trent's question was?
He would mess with Frank Talent all the time because he stunk. The guy didn't use deodorant.
So Frank Town would always say, no spitting, no, try not to swear. And then it would be, well, wait, if they say you suck, can we say you swallow? Every night for what, 7-8 years with Frank Town?
Yeah.
It was the same thing every single time.
That's fucking great, man. I forgot all about that till you said that. That fucking last
act. Yeah. He laughed his own dumb joke. He was the king of the dumb dad joke. He loved the dad joke.
I'm a scumbag. Fuck him. I'm a scumbag. Fuck him, Gort.
Billy, you're talking about the old man, right? That old man that was always at the arena?
Yeah, he was
State
Athletic Commission.
Okay.
Nice guy, but
that's
who
it was. Okay.
Yeah, Trent would always mess with him.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing the guy. Just in California, we don't need athletic commissioners and shit. So every time I see him on these videos that I'm editing, I was wondering who the old man is. You know, that's who it is, and I'm thinking
that's who it is.
Corp was able to talk to Todd Gordon yesterday. He obviously said hi to everybody and whatnot. You know, so.
Yeah.
Did Todd have anything to say, Corp?
He just, he said one thing about Trent was that it was what his most memorable people ever, you know, on top of the fact that he would love the fact that Trent would drive Johnny crazy before shows because Like the day before shows, Johnny would always be worried about Trent and what we were doing and making sure everything was good because, you know, Johnny was a worrywart. This is just how it was. You know, he was trying to make sure everything was perfect and good the way it should be. And Trent was like, fuck it, you need to relax, motherfucker. You need to relax. So, you know, we're good, man. We got this. You know?
Trent would get off on making Johnny extra crazy on show days because after the
100%.
First couple of shows where Johnny was constantly worried about everything, Vern would be like, fuck it. And then he would do shit to make Johnny worry on purpose. He'd be like, well, okay, he's going to relax, just relax.
Like Trent would seriously, man, when we'd be in town to measure days that Billy was talking about, he'd be like, look, man, we're going to go this side of town because I know – He goes, I know Johnny's going to call you in a minute, which Johnny would call me about every 45 minutes. He'd be like, where are you all at? And it would be a certain part of town that Johnny knew Trent would, I mean, that Trent would knew Johnny would get pissed off that we were in. So I'm with Bertie, and I'm right here in this part of town. He'd be like, why the fuck are you all there, man? What the fuck are you all doing? And then Trent would just start laughing, his laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, ah, we got him.
That's awesome. So, Missy, you got your drink? You guys have your drink or what?
I have my shot. I have my shot of Jack Daniels.
Sorry.
Billy, what are you doing?
Billy, what are you doing?
When it came to Trent, the one thing that I'll never forget and I always cherish with Trent, and with all the guys, but especially Trent was incredibly loyal. Yes.
Right.
You were
Amen.
His friend.
Amen.
If you were his friend, he would do anything and everything for you. When the whole XPW coming in, the Philly thing happened, and they took a couple CZW guys, Trent was pissed. Not because XPW took the CZW guys, but because I was, you know, the quote-unquote champ, and it was disrespectful to me. I could have said less. But he and Johnny, like, purposely went out, you know, on one of the shows, dressed up as M-Dog 20 and Josh Prohibition make fun of
Prohibition.
Him. Yeah, and in the promo, he's like, you know, disrespecting our champ. He would stand by you bigger thing. And I always loved that about Trent.
Amen, Billy. That's the best shit that's been said. You're 100% right, man. Trent would go to fucking war with you. If he was your boy, he was your boy to the end of time. It didn't matter who it was. If they tried to fuck you over or whatever, Trent would battle for you. And that's just the way he was, man. If you're his boy, you're his boy for life. And there's only a few of us that still live by that loyalty. Everybody on this phone does. Everybody on here right now that I'm talking to does that. You know, but it's a dying breed in this business. It's a very dying breed in this business because, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of snakes in there. But Trent Acid was one of the most loyal motherfuckers you'd ever meet.
Absolutely.
A lot of fucking mercenaries out there, man. They're fucking don't give a fuck anymore, you know.
These kids don't understand about loyalty, respect, or any of that shit. That's why I don't mind to beat the fuck out of them when I get the chance.
Oh, man, it's fucking wild, man. It doesn't even make sense anymore the way fucking wrestlers are nowadays, man. I fucking get pissed when I see this shit, man, because I was growing up just like you guys, old school way, you know, and it's like, I don't fucking get what's going on right now because it's so disrespectful that they would be outside getting their ass kicked if they fucking treated people the way they are now, you know, so... Hey, Corp,
the only reason that happens is because the locker room generals that were there aren't there no more because we don't stand for that shit. Yeah, we don't stand for that shit. You know, guys are scared. They know we're going to stand up for what we believe. They know we're going to stand up for the boys, and we're going to stand up for the true people that are right. And people that are doing good business, we're going to back up, you know, and they know we're the guys that are going to fuck it. We will beat a fucking promoter's ass. You start acting stupid, we don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? We are them guys. You know what I'm saying? We're going to teach the young talent the right way. If you want to do it the wrong way, we'll show you the wrong fucking way.
Well, it's like,
just in case any of the new breed is listening to this and hears Court keep referring to the boys and is like, but Missy's on the call, it's okay. I'm one of the boys. We're good.
Yeah,
Missy's always been one of the boys.
I'm not politically correct.
Missy's one of the boys and half the fucking boys out there. Period. Missy's been one of the boys for years, decades.
So I brought that. I'm gonna let Corp do the countdown in a second, but
everybody got the drink together. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Swallow.
Done.
Oh, wow. I never did that without I need to chase it. Jesus.
And wrestling fans, this is the first time Corporal Robinson has got all five of these people to swallow live.
Whoa.
I was waiting for somebody to say
it. The first time I've had a man yell at me to swallow like that before, but okay.
I was waiting for somebody to say, Verdi said swallow, you know.
I was waiting for it too, but I beat him to the punch.
Yeah, no, that was funny, man. Yeah. Now, man, we did it on Tuesday. Like I said, I wanted to honor him for this week. I brought back the Pro Wrestling Plug just because I thought there was so much legacy there. I thought we were talking about on Tuesday with Corp. I mean, there were such cool moments. And unfortunately, I don't think I've ever met Nick. I met Missy, and I met, of course, everybody else. But, I really, really appreciate you guys coming on here. I mean, we can still keep talking. I just want to say thank you for coming on here and sharing some stories. I mean, Trent was one of a kind, and I think that's the biggest thing that people nowadays, like you said, AEW and all that. I mean, he was well ahead of his time. And could you imagine if he was here today, how great and how amazing he'd be on TV, and he'd be one of the top stars in the world like he was back then, you know, everybody know who he was, you know, so. Anybody else have anything else to say about Trent before we kind of wrap things up?
I just want to say when Billy was talking about how loyal he is, I remember I didn't know. I think Messiah could tell the story better about how he met Trent, but they were blues already. I obviously was close with Verdi when Messiah got attacked, and I had heard about it, and I was like, "Yo, did you hear about this? Like, that's fucked up." But I didn't know Messiah, so it's not like it happened to one of my people. Verdi went off. He was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, that's my boy. I fucking love him. Like, I can't believe that happened to him. Like, he went crazy. So, I just want to say, not that he ever questions it, but Billy, Verdi loved you so much.
No, he did. He actually phone called me and asked me, "Hey, Corp, are you down to go to California?" And it's before I met Billy. Me and Billy were super tight, which we are now, you know what I'm saying, before we started working together like we did in the past before then. And he's like, "Corp, can you come to Cali with me and fuck these motherfuckers up? They done fucked up my boy." That's straight up what Missy was talking. He was so goddamn mad about that whole situation. He was ready for me and him to come to California and kill Rob Black and everybody.
Yeah, Trent, Trent was funny in a way, and I'm kind of the same way, where it's like you don't really care about your well-being, but you care about your friends, your people, you know, more than yourself. And Trent was very much that way. I mean, I had to calm him down, like, "Dude, I'm good. Don't worry, I'm good. You know, I'm fine." And, when all that stuff happened, Trent, Johnny, Adam Flash, Nick, all those guys, I leaned on those guys a lot. Like I said, I didn't want to be home ever, and that's why I would just stay in Philly for like a week, and inevitably I ended up moving out there.
We liked you. We tried to keep you.
Yeah, I was more comfortable out there than I was here. But the one thing I try to bring it up a little bit. I didn't know about Ring Rats until I went to CDW, and like Verdi and Adam Flash, like taught me everything about Ring Rats. So
the Ring Rat School of Professional, right there.
Yeah, I had no idea about any of that stuff, and like Trent and John, I remember they Verdi schooled me on a lot of things, and I was pleasantly surprised. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was going on. Not that anything bad was going on, but it was just funny. I wish I could put it in words, but like I didn't know anything about that shit. And Trent's like, "No, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. I need my phone."
Yeah.
I go, "Hurry!" I was like, "Oh." Like, okay. Like, I had no idea.
Verdi gave me a pop quiz the first time I got to Philly when he found out how many rats I was getting in IWA Mid-South. And and to him it was a challenge because he thought Corporal Robinson was coming up, he's getting all these rats down here, and I'm getting all these rats up here. Let's see if he's really for real. So Verdi put me on a goddamn quiz where he wanted to see how much money I could get one day from the rats, because if I couldn't, then I was bullshitting. But I did. I pulled off my end. of the girls down south. And Bernie's like, oh, well, fucking wait. I'm like, look, motherfucker, I got mine. Where's yours? He's like, oh, you just need to wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got my shit on it. And, of course, that fucker did, man. He got her food bill paid. He got her liquor bill paid. He got everything paid. He said, all right, now, am I good? I said, you were quizzing me, motherfucker. You made me get these bitches calling me to prove that I was who I was. And here, and now you're asking me if you're good, motherfucker. Are you on top of the world up here in Philly and New York? What do you mean? He was like, all right, that's why we're going to be cool. We're going to be cool because you got shit right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Bertie would be mad.
He's like, you cannot survive this business without rats. Rats are the reason you survive in the business. And I said, Bertie, I can't argue that fact because without him, I'd died already. I got even rotten paydays to deal with.
I couldn't.
Do you guys remember?
Bertie couldn't. I couldn't do any of that. So I just was too much of a nice guy, I guess, or had standards, whatever you want to call it. But like, I couldn't do any of that shit. I was like, dude, no way.
God damn it! It's really good to hear y'all's voice, man, Billy. Nick, Missy, man, it's been so long since I heard y'all's voices. It's just fucking great hearing y'all's voices tonight, man. I just want to say, hey, Billy Black wants putting on this show, man. Thanks, man, because it's been a great time just being on here with them cats, man. All three of them that you got on here are great fucking boys of the business. They're great people of this business, man, and I love each one of them dearly.
I love you, man, of course.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Love
you guys are super cool. It's been a long time. You know, I always thought back in the day, if you can't do it now because of all this shit going on, but I thought Ring Rats Gone Wild would have been a cool VHS, you know, back in the day. You know, Ring Rats Gone Wild.
No, let me tell you something. You're done way behind. Dave Prazak recorded that already with me and Too Tough Tony in a Milwaukee hotel room back in 2001. So you are way behind. We made all them bitches.
I'm way behind.
We put them all in luchador masks and went room to room to room and made them say something stupid in every fucking one just to prove our facts. So Dave Prazak has that footage. So if you want to go back to them old school days, there you go. You can go back to them. The Ring Rats Gone Wild has done been out.
That is awesome. I always thought that would have been a cool one. But hey, you guys, thanks a lot, man. You know, if you can, I mean, we're, like I said, we're bringing that Pro Wrestling Unplugged back. I mean, it's been back about a year. I talked to Corp. I mean, I'll do the best I can.
Look,
you know,
we'll
I'm
believe
smarter,
you as soon
so.
As you book. Hey, when you book all four of us on the same show, then we'll believe you.
Oh, I was just about to say that. I just said, I don't know if I can book all four of you. I don't know if I can book all four of you.
That's true because, you know what I'm saying, we are old school guys, and that $30, $40 payday shit ain't going to work with any of us.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know how it's gonna work. The only advantage Billy has is he's out in Cali. You know what I mean? So, like,
listen,
but,
Billy ain't
no,
cheap
man.
Either. He's a legend like me,
no.
Man. We done got our scars. So you're gonna have to come out your pocket.
Oh no, yeah,
there,
no.
At least
totally.
We're gonna put asses in your seat. It's gonna be asses in your seat, but we're worth the money.
Oh no, you know what? I know that, and you guys have been super cool, and you guys always have been super cool, and I'm just appreciative. I'm trying to just bring PW back to, I guess, it won't be back to his glory days, but you never know. You know what I mean? I'm not even trying to really, I just thought, I love the name. I used to, we were going to be West Coast Pro Wrestling Unplugged in 2010, and then things folded, and I had an opportunity to bring it back. Somebody stole my name, the Vendetta Pro Wrestling name, because old school way, like you said, I just never did all the paperwork because I never had competition. Next thing you know, someone took our name. So then I decided to go with the Pro Wrestling Unplugged.
Yeah, motherfuckers don't play, man. Listen,
you got
a great name,
thing.
You got a great legacy, man, and let me tell you something, every person you got on this draws in Cali, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know for damn sure I can
put
100 people in the stands in Cali just myself, so can Billy, Missy, and so can fucking Nick, you know what I'm saying? So you put this shit together, I promise you, we'll have the people to back it up, man, you'll have an amazing product.
I mean,
I said everybody else, but, like, I know I can't draw shit. So don't worry about me.
Nah, man.
That must be Nick Burke. That's got to be Nick Burke.
That was Messiah.
That was Messiah.
Hey, look, he's lying out of his motherfucking ass because I've worked him in front of Full House as a fucking lying fucker.
Well,
I can draw a few.
But here's the good news is, like I said, today we're celebrating an amazing man. I mean, and I think, and I'm real happy if you guys – with you, Corp, I'm glad that you're fucking doing healthy. You're healthy now. You had a little scare that scared a lot of us, you know, and I'm glad. I'm well wishes to you.
Messiah, Missy, Nick. I mean, Teddy Fine was trying to call in, but I guess he hocked his kids up on Mountain Dew or something. And then, you know, like a lot of people, Joe. Yeah. And so, like, man, I thought it was a great show. If you guys have any questions or anything you're listening about how the business is supposed to be run, listen to this podcast, because there's a lot of experience on this podcast. And I want to thank you guys for coming on here, man. I just been doing this while we're fucking stuck at home until we get on the road. But I hit up Teddy and a few other people about trying to run a reunion, pro wrestling reunion show in Philly. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I mean, you know, that fucking ECW arena is expensive, man. So, you know,
there's other places, and we can talk. We can figure something out.
We'll figure something out, man.
I work with you. I didn't put that out there for most of these fucks out in the world, but I put it out there for you.
Yeah.
We'll work something out.
Yeah,
we'll make shit happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure, guys. Yeah. Anyway, once again, thank you guys for joining the Biggest Little Show on Radio. Corporal Robinson, Nick Burke, Missy Sampson, the Messiah, can you guys start with Nick? Can you maybe put over your social media and help people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of Nick Burke?
Jesus, Facebook is the best place. I have no, I barely use
nothing
Twitter,
else?
So Facebook
okay.
is just, you search Nick Burke, NICKBERK, you'll find me standing with Trent, and that's me. Hit me up.
Awesome. What about you, Corp?
You can look me up at CorporalRobinson.net. It's a brand new website that's about to launch. It's going to be helping out all the boys pretty much everywhere in the country because, you know, it's one of the websites that hasn't been done yet that I want to try to break through on being able to help boys break into business, do it the right way, do it the proper way, how to get insurance, how to do that shit. That's kind of shit that's never been done before. I kind of want to break the mold on that. So that .net's going to be coming out real soon. We're almost done with it. I'll be doing a live podcast each week on there. Secondly, to be Corporal Robinson on Twitter. It's Steven Robinson on Facebook. It's the one that I'm not powerballed the guy through the glass because that one's an old Facebook that a bitch stole before I went to jail. So that's wrong when you got to look me up. I have my buddy on there and my T-shirt. So you look me up on there. Plus, I'm on all the social media outlets / Corporal Robinson. You know what I'm saying? I'm not hard really to find if you really want to find me.
Yeah, and also that's awesome. And Messiah, I do want to say real quick, congratulations on that Hardcore Hall of Fame thing in Cali. Rest in peace to Supreme.
Man,
I know you guys are going to wear it same night.
Billy, by the way, congratulations, brother. That was well overdue, buddy.
Oh,
absolutely.
For
sure.
No, it was cool. No, I mean, the house is running. He's one of my best friends. So, you know, if they have your buddy on, call.
Yeah.
So, cool.
And how do we get a hold of you, Messiah, if they want to say hi to you, one of the fans, or, you know, whoever?
I don't got Twitter. I don't have any. Honestly, if you want to reach me, it's just Billy Messiah on Facebook and just pictures of my kids.
For sure. Cool. And Missy, how do we get, if people want to contact you, if you want them to contact you, how do we get hold of you?
They can find me on Twitter at Wrestling Missy. You can find me on Instagram at Wrestling Missy, the number one. Look, you can find me on Facebook. It's a private page. If we're not really friends and you're not in my life, I won't add you. So don't be offended if you try to get me there. But Twitter and Instagram, you can get me.
I'm offended. You better hit me back, you crazy bitch. I love you.
That was Corp.
I'll ask you. Fuck, stop cursing at me, man.
Yeah,
so you guys,
I'm gonna give you my personal cell phone number. That way you can just text my ass. All right.
All right. I'm gonna find you on your Facebook right now.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, and this has been fun, man. You guys, thanks a lot. And I don't think we can end the show better than this. I mean, we have a lot of cool people that were obviously really close to Trent. But check us out. This is the Biggest Little Show Radio. We have Vendetta Pro Radio on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Messiah, Corp, Nick, Missy, thank you for joining it. I figure this is the best way to end this show. Please enjoy this. And thank you once again for everybody listening all around the world, I'm sure. And we can't end it a better way than this. This is Trent Acid's theme song, The Chase, Midnight Express.
Love you guys, man. Miss every fucking one of you, man. Love all of you.
Love you guys.
All right,
love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love y'all.